Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
We must never, never, never take for granted all that God is doing for us here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Many times when people go on vacation, they start looking for a church, and they look for something like Lancaster Baptist Church, and most of the time, they leave a little bit disappointed, okay? And I've done that on many occasions, and many people have listened to me preach and leave very disappointed also. But it's a great privilege for me. And when I retired from the position as general director and president of BIMI in 2002, of course, I had no intention of coming to California at that time. And I attended the leadership meeting. I preached in the leadership meeting in 2002. And it was during that time particularly, and Pastor Chappell had invited me to do various things here in the church. But he and Dr. Rasmussen had made up a plan for my life from that time forward. And I did not know about that. God told them before he told me, okay? And I had some plans that I was going to do. I know about one large institution that brings in preachers on a regular basis. And the World Mission Center at Baptist International Mission is located right in front of Harrison Bay State Park. And there's a beautiful lake out there. There's right in front of our facilities. 1 mile from my parking space is a Jack Nicklaus designed golf course. And I really had some great plans for what I was going to do after I retired from that position. And I was going to buy a pontoon boat. And I was going to bring preachers in on a regular basis and take them out on the lake and just, you know, give them a good time and introduce them to BIMI. And, of course, while they were there, offer them a game of golf at Jack Nicklaus course out there and so forth. And that was a great plan. In fact, as I look over the last 8 years, I realize it was a great plan. Amen. Anyway, they decided that I should come and teach missions one semester here at West Coast Baptist College, and I did. And it was, from the depth of my heart, one of the best decisions that I ever made in all my life. And it has been such a privilege to work with Dr. Chappell and all of the great people here. I do not believe that there is a church staff, a school staff, anywhere in the world that even comes close to what you folks have here at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. And Dr. Chappell is such a great leader, and great leaders have the ability to attract other leaders. And God has used him in assembling the leadership that is behind me and that are out all across the country today representing Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. And it has been a great door, a great open door for me. In reality, my thinking was, after 70 years of age, that in all probabilities, the greatest ministry that I would be able to do was past. And yet the last 8 years have been very, very productive years. I'm in mission conferences, our mission emphasis in churches nearly every week in the year. And I probably have to turn down twice as many meetings as I'm able to take. Somebody used to say, well, when you get older, you're going to have a hard time when your phone quits ringing. And the other day, my phone rang several times, and I wonder, how old do you have to get before your phone stops ringing, okay? But I say all that to say, I'm thrilled to serve under one of the greatest pastors that the world has ever known, Dr. Paul Chappell. And you will be good to him this year, I'm sure. And all of us will as we prepare for his 24th anniversary and not only his anniversary, but our anniversary of the Lancaster Baptist Church. And thank you, folks, for being so kind and gracious to Virginia and me. We appreciate it so much, more than words could ever tell. I want you to open your Bibles into John chapter 19 for just a few minutes. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And we're going to begin reading with verse 25. John chapter 19, verse 25. Would you stand with me tonight for the reading of God's word? The verses I'm going to read, and we're not going to do an expository sermon tonight, but the verses I'm about to read are verses that took place during the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon the hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Dear Lord, we thank you for the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at that day that he was crucified tonight, I pray that you would help each of us to be encouraged with the fact that regardless of what comes our way, by the grace of God, we can be more than conquerors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon tonight is How to Survive a Rough Day. How to survive a rough day. Have you ever had a day when you went to bed at night and you said, whew, am I glad that day's over? Probably all of us have had certain days when just one unusual and one difficult thing after another happened, and we thought how happy we were that that day was over. Many years ago, I heard about a children's book. The name of the book was Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And it's a great book. I love children's books. That's my intellectual level, amen. But in this book, Alexander just has a very, very difficult day. He gets out of bed and he trips on a skateboard. And he drops his sweater into the sink full of water. At breakfast, Alexander's brothers Nick and Anthony reach into the cereal boxes and pull out amazing prizes, while Alexander ends up with only cereal. On his way to school, he doesn't get the window seat in the carpool. At school, his teacher doesn't like his drawing of an invisible castle, which is actually just a sheet of blank paper. And he criticizes him for singing too loud and leaving out some of the words of the song. His friend Paul reduces Alexander to third best friend, and there is no dessert in his lunchbox. At the dentist tells Alexander he has a cavity. The elevator door hurts his foot. Anthony pushes him into the mud. Nick calls him a crybaby for crying, and Mom catches him in the act of punching Nick. At the shoe store, they're sold out of Alexander's choice of sneakers, blue ones with red stripes, so Mom has to buy him plain white sneakers, which he'll refuse to wear. At Dad's office, Alexander makes a mess of things when he fools around with everything there, the copying machine, the books, and the telephone. getting to the point where Dad tells him, don't pick me up at work anymore. At home, Alexander's bad day is far from over. The family has lima beans for dinner. He hates lima beans. There's kissing on television. He hates kissing. Bath time becomes a nightmare. The water's too hot. Soap gets in his eyes. He loses marble down the drain. And he has to wear the railroad pajamas, which he hates. At bedtime, Alexander's night light burns out. He bites his tongue. Nick takes back a pillow, and the family cat chooses to sleep with Annie. No wonder Anthony wants to move to Australia. And then his mother sets him down and explains to Alexander that everybody has a bad day every once in a while, and even people in Australia. And when I thought about Alexander's bad day, I thought, you know, I've had some days pretty similar to that. So anybody can have a bad day or a bad week or a bad year or some difficulties in life. Brother Furso is a big Cub fan. And they won the last World Series well over 100 years from now. And that was a long time ago. I heard a sports announcer one time, and he was saying, you know, any player can have a bad day. And then he said, any player, for that matter, can have a bad year. And then he said, and some teams have a bad century. That was the Cubs, okay? So any of us can have a very bad day. But on a very serious thought, none of us will ever have a day that would equal the day when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. And tonight, for just a minute, and that's a dangerous term, amen, for a Baptist preacher. But for a little while, let's just think about how to survive a rough day. And think about the different sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that tells how he handled a very, very rough day. Number one, in Luke 23:34, we read these words. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his remnants and cast lots. Think about this. Jesus looks down at the crowd, the Roman soldiers, the scribes and the Pharisees, the people that caused him to be hanging on that cross. And he looks down at them and he prays to the Father and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. How do we handle a rough day? Number one, we forgive those who are messing up our day. Or we forgive those who are messing up our life, for that matter. I heard this statement many, many years ago, and it helped me a great deal in dealing with people that did things that you could not understand and things that really hurt you. And the statement was simply this: hurting people hurt people. Think about that for a minute. When somebody says something bad to you, when somebody does something bad to you, it may be that they are having such a problem that they are hurting themselves and they're just sort of taking it out on somebody else. So, forgive the people that are messing up your day. Forgive the person that is messing up your week or your life, for that matter. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Refuse to retaliate. The worst thing we can possibly do when somebody does something bad to us is determine that I'm going to get even with them. Now, if somebody does something good to you, determine I'm going to get even with them. Amen. But if somebody does something bad to you, then don't you determine I'm going to get even with them, but you leave that in the hands of God. And here is Jesus being crucified. He has done nothing wrong. For 33 and a half years, he has lived a perfect life, and yet he is dying the death of a criminal. And he looks out at the ones that are crucifying him, and he said, "Forgive them. They know not what they do." Refuse to retaliate and master the moment. Take the opportunity of, rather than retaliating, to doing something good, even for those who do something bad to you. Number two, encourage others who are having a struggling or hurting. Luke 23:43 says this, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now think about it. Jesus is dying on a cross. You can imagine all of the pain and all of the agony that he's going through. On either side of him, there are criminals that are dying. Listen to them. "And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deed, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And here are two different men, one on each side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them is ridiculing Christ and saying, "Really, if you were the Christ, if you were what you have been saying you are, you could save yourself and save us." By the way, somebody else said of Jesus hanging there that day, "He saved others, but himself he cannot save." And that man didn't know it, but he uttered the truth. He could have come down from the cross. He could have saved himself, but had he saved himself, he could not have saved us. Thank God he made the right choice. Amen. So Jesus is listening to these two men. One of them criticizing him. The other one realizing that he is a sinner and he deserves what he's getting. And then he turns to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus, not thinking of himself, listening to those two men. And then he turns to that man and he says to him, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." When you're going through a rough time, rather than just thinking about yourself, remember, regardless of what you're going through, there's somebody that's going through things that are worse than you're going through. You've heard the statement, "I complained because I had no shoes. And then I met a man who had no feet." It doesn't matter what difficulty, what trial, what trouble you may be going through. I guarantee you, you're not the worst person in the world. There's somebody else going through something even more difficult than you. Therefore, take time to forget about yourself. And by the way, haven't you noticed that when you begin to help others, you sort of forget about your own troubles and trials and so forth? So Jesus turns to him and says, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." I never will forget preaching a message on the radio about the thief going to heaven and so forth. And as soon as the radio program was over, the station manager said to me, "Brother Sis, there's a lady on the phone. She wants to talk to you." And I thought, that's nice. The program has been a blessing to some lady, and she wants to tell me about it. But when I picked up the phone, I heard the voice of a very angry lady. And she was saying some things not very nice at all. And one of the things is she said, "I wish you dumb Baptists would read your Bible sometime." And I said, well, we do occasionally. Amen. And she said, Jesus did not say the man was going to be in heaven with him. He said he was going to be in paradise with him. And I said, I'm sorry, you're right. But by the way, if Jesus is there, it's heaven. Amen. Take time to look around you. No matter what you're going through, take time to look around you. And as you look around, you can find somebody that needs your help regardless of what you may be going through. Number three, take care of your responsibilities. Take care of your responsibilities. When you get depressed, when you're feeling bad, when you think everything is going wrong, if you're not careful, you'll lay around and have a pity party and do nothing. And by the way, guess what? You'll get worse and worse and worse. But rather than doing that, if you've got something that needs to be done, then do it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:11, whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with thy might. Listen to Jesus. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's dying. He's going through all of the agony and trials and feelings that anybody being crucified would go through. Yet he looks down and he sees his mother. Now remember, Jesus was the oldest son. He was the firstborn son of Mary. And since he was the oldest son, evidently his foster father, Joseph, was dead. And therefore, it was his responsibility to take care of his mother. So notice what happens. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. By the way, John is writing this. And John was just obsessed with the fact that Jesus loved John. Read the letter. He's all. Every time he refers to himself, he refers to himself as that disciple that Jesus loved. I like that, don't you? You might have asked John, John, don't you think Jesus loves anybody else? And I think John would have replied, well, I guess he loves you. But I know he loves me, amen. And so Jesus looks down and he sees his mother and then he sees John. And he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. Notice what he's doing. He's got something to do. There's a responsibility. There's something he's supposed to take care of. So he forget about his own suffering, his own pain and so forth. And he takes care of business. And the Bible says, and from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. So he took care of business. Number four, take your difficult questions to the Lord. Take your difficult questions to the Lord. Matthew 27:46 says this. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you have a problem? You have a trial? You have a hard question? The person you ought to take that to is the Lord. Listen to Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all time, ye people. Now listen to this exhortation. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. You like that little word, Selah? It means think about that. God is our refuge. Listen to it. Pour out your heart to him. What's troubling you? What is a perplexing thing that you're thinking about? Something that bothers you? Why don't you just tell God about that? You say, you know, I would be embarrassed to even pray about this particular thing. But think about it. He knows about it anyway, amen? He knows what you're thinking. So go ahead and talk to God about it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And whatever question you might have tonight, whatever may be bothering you, the best thing you can do is to talk to God about that. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Luke chapter 24. And the story about the two men on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion. And, you know, they were having a pity party, you know, and they were down and downcast and so forth. Listen to just a portion of that story. And it came to pass while they communed together, these two men, and reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, you talk about being downcast. They were really downcast, amen. They had seen Jesus. They had talked with him. They had walked with him. Now, all of a sudden, they're so downcast, so downtrodden, that they don't even recognize him, and he's walking right with them. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another? And as you walk and are sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? Now listen to Jesus' exhortation, verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? You know what he said? Tell me about it. Tell me about it. What's your problem? What's your question? What's puzzling you? Could I exhort you? Tell it to Jesus. Talk to Jesus about it. Number five, let your needs be made known to others. Let your needs be made known to others. I am thrilled to be an independent Baptist. I'm not ashamed of the word Baptist. I'm not ashamed of the word independent. But many times independent Baptists have the idea that we are independent of everybody. And so I often tell people, I am not only an independent Baptist, but I am an interdependent Baptist. In other words, we depend on one another. Now, Jesus had a need. In John 19, 28, we read a few minutes ago, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. You know what he's saying? I need something. I need somebody to help me. I am thirsty. I cannot reach out and get a drink. I need someone to help me. Don't ever be so proud that you would refuse to enlist the help of other people. I just went through a little thing on the Bible program. Just the little words, one another. You're talking about needing one another. We need one another, amen? And it's just over and over and over and over. Just briefly. Greet one another. Admonish one another. Love one another. Prefer one another. Rejoice with one another. Serve one another. Provoke one another. Forbear one another. Comfort one another. Edify one another. Consider one another. Exhort one another. Wow. You sort of get the idea that God believes we ought to help one another. Amen. And so Jesus admitted that he had a need and he enlisted the help of others. Listen to Jesus. He's about to say something. He needs something. And we need one another. We need to help one another. And we need to allow others to help us. You know, my own self, I don't have a lot of problem of helping others, okay? But sometimes it's a little bit difficult. I might as well admit my own sin, okay? It's a little bit difficult for me to receive from others. I'd rather be giving than receiving, okay? But we ought to learn to receive as well as to give. And when we need help, we should not be so proud that we would ask others to help us. Take the example of the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He's been condemned to die. He knows that in a short time he'll be passing away. And he writes a letter to Timothy. And in that letter he says to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come to me." You know what he's saying? "Timothy, I need you. I need you. Hey, you are not just independent. Thank God you are interdependent." Amen. We need one another. Then the sixth thing, states your faith in God's word. States your faith in the work of God. Regardless of what's happening at this particular time, just realize that God is doing something. In John 19:30, we read a few minutes ago, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." You know what he's saying? God the Father is doing something. And regardless of what may be happening in our life, we need to just stop and think, God has a purpose for this. God is doing something with this. You know the verse? We can never quote it too many times. We can never think of it too many times. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. In other words, regardless of what comes in my life, God is doing something. I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. He was in prison. Now, naturally, Paul would have rather been free to travel from place to place and preach and help others. But he's in prison. And from the prison, he writes these words. Philippians 1:12. "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident for my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." You see what Paul is saying? I'm in prison. No, this is not my choice. This is not where I'd rather be. But God has a purpose for me being in prison, and I'm witnessing to all of the people in the palace. And not only that, the other believers are taking courage and they're bold to speak the word of God. So regardless of where you are, just stop and think. God is doing something. By the way, I don't have to understand it. All I have to do is to obey God. Then the last thing. You're going through a rough time, a rough day, a rough week, a rough month, a rough year, whatever. Be sure that you commit all things to God. Commit all things to God. Luke 23:46. Look at it. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." You know what he's saying? I'm committing myself unreservedly, totally into your hands. What a wonderful place to be, amen. Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. "For the which cause I suffer all these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded." I like that. "I am persuaded." In other words, I am convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Jesus, at the very end of his life, said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. And Paul said, "I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him." Be sure that everything is committed unto him. I've made this statement many times, and I want you to think about it in closing tonight. Anything I commit to the Lord, I can stop worrying about that thing. Anything. My soul, I don't have to worry about where I'm going to spend eternity. Why? I've committed that to the Lord. My life, if my life is committed to the Lord, I don't have to worry about my life. It's committed to the Lord. My finances, my home, my children, doesn't matter what it is, anything I commit to the Lord, I can cease worrying about it. I can rest assured that he'll take good care of it. Now the opposite. Anything I refuse to commit to the Lord, I'd better worry about it because I'm going to mess it up. What are some of the things you're facing this hour? And the congregation this side, don't tell me orally or don't even come after church and tell me, okay? Because I'd be here for weeks and months just listening to all the things that different people are going through. But I guarantee you, there are some perplexing situations in the minds and the hearts of many of us. What difficulties are you facing? What trials are you going through? What persecutions are you enduring? Rest assured that God loves you and knows all about them and stands ready and willing to help you. You have God. You have your church. You have friends that are willing to help you. Again, I looked in a Bible program the other day, and I'd heard about this, but I never had checked it out for my own self. But the phrase, "it came to pass," is found in the Bible 452 times. That's a lot of times, amen. Evidently, God wants us to realize that it doesn't matter what's happening right now. Aren't you glad it came to pass? It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It came to pass. Turn in your Bibles for just a moment to Romans chapter 8 again. Romans chapter 8, and at the end of that chapter, we hear the rejoicing of the Apostle Paul. Beginning with verse 33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things," I love this, "we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And it doesn't matter what we're going through, by the grace of God, by the help of God, we can be more than conquerors. And then Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are more than conquerors. Regardless of what you may be going through, thank God we can be more than conquerors through him that loves us. And read it for yourself. the latter part of Matthew, the latter part of Luke, the latter part of Mark, the latter part of Luke, the latter part of John. It all tells about the last day of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon the face of the earth and how he handled a very rough day. And I believe that should encourage us that regardless of what comes our way, we can be more than conquerors through Christ.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.